Welcome to Indianapolis Colts Central. I am Dylan Green. On today's show, I'm just going to be, obviously, I'm going to do the Lions recap, the unfortunate loss. But before I jump into that, I mentioned in my last episode that I would be doing another podcast before the Lions game if any major roster moves happened. Unfortunately, I did not stick to my word. I was unable to do that due to classes and other activities I'm involved in here. So anyway, I wouldn't say a major roster move, but a roster move that stood out to me was we signed outside linebacker Akeem Ayers. Akeem Ayers is a career journeyman, a former second, third-round pick. So he's been in the league, I think, a couple years. I think this is his fourth or fifth season in his like fourth or fifth team. He's a very inconsistent linebacker from looking at his career statistics and whatnot, but he is a young guy that adds depth to this football team. And you know, we need youth at the linebacker position. With, like I said, we have Robert Mathis, Trent Cole, and Eric Walden, who are all over the age of 32 at least. And you know, adding a guy like Akeem Ayers, obviously for special teams purposes mostly, but a guy that you can, a guy that can be a rotational pass rusher for us, I think is a good move. You know, as far as the Lions game goes, I think I'm just going to jump into that right now. You know, we lost, and it was a toss-up game. I don't know if I made a prediction in my last in my podcast, but you know, I'm not gonna lie, and I don't know if I said this in my podcast, but I figured going in that we would lose. You know, with all of the injuries we have on defense, you know, we have Vontae Davis is out, Clayton Gathers is out, Henry Anderson is out, and our Jones is suspended, and those are all starters or an impact player in our Jones. Those are all key guys that we're missing on defense that would help stop the run and generate pass rush to, you know, get the quarterback. Because that game we had one sack, and to my knowledge it was from Hassan Ridgeway, you know, the rookie out of Texas, and you know, that's phenomenal. But at the same time, you know, you want more than just a rookie rotational pass rusher who's not going to play that much get a sack. You want your guys that are on the field, you know, getting pressure on the quarterback, because clearly we did not get that much pressure on Matthew Stafford, which gave him more time in the pocket to throw to his receivers and score more touchdowns than us. I mean, it was plain and simple. We could not stop Matthew Stafford. We could not generate pass rush whatsoever. And honestly, in my opinion, we couldn't really tackle. We were out of shape. We couldn't tackle. There was one play, I remember correctly. Eric Walden was getting, I think it was either Amir Abdullah or Theo Riddick in the backfield for like a 3-yard loss. This dude whiffed the tackle, and the running back got like a 20-plus yard gain out of it. So, you know, our defense thought he was down, but, you know, so they stopped running, and they didn't go towards him. They just stopped where they were, like, oh, Eric's got it. Nope, Eric didn't have it, actually, and unfortunately he got a 20-plus yard gain, and I think eventually they scored on that drive. But, you know, obviously there's a lot of negatives to come out of week one against the Lions, 39-35, the final score. But there are some positives, in my opinion, there are some positives. I think Andrew Luck, bouncing back from his injury-plagued season last year, played phenomenal, having 380 yards, 4 touchdowns. And, you know, honestly, he only got sacked twice, which with our offensive line, with, you know, a couple new additions and new starters and a new offense, I think that's a pretty good ratio, 2 sacks for the entire game. And with the Lions front 7, I think that's even better. And, you know, I'm pretty high on our offensive line right now. But the only, I think, downfall to that is, you know, they're able to pass block pretty well. I mean, gave 2 sacks, but We could not run the ball whatsoever. We had, what, like 80 yards on the ground out of our, what, 4 running backs or whoever was in the game. I mean, that's just unacceptable. Really, really unfortunate with that. I think Frank Gore, in my opinion, ran his ass off. But it's just he couldn't. There was no holes. There was no holes to run. There was nowhere to run for him, and it's unfortunate. There's a lot to work on offensively, you know, in the run game especially. I think that's going to be a focal point this week in practice for Coach Jedzinski and you know, all the other position coaches. Defensively, you know, like I said, you got to generate pass rush. And honestly, on defense, we got to get healthy, really. If we're going to play the Broncos with the defense we have in store right now, it's not going to be pretty. And I know that Trevor Siemian barely beat the Panthers, but with the Broncos defense, this is not going to be – it's going to be a tough game, honestly. And but we got to get healthy, and that leads me to some injury updates. TJ Green, if I remember correctly, has a MCL strain or sprain, something to that. I think he's week to week, so we're either going to have Winston Guy start back there or Clayton Gathers will be back to start. Patrick Robinson is under the concussion protocol, so I'm not sure if he's going to play this week. And if he's not, Antonio Cromartie assumes that number two corner role, and I would assume Daryl Morris or Rashawn Melvin is the other starter. Honestly, I thought that Daryl Morris played pretty good for our nickel corner. You know, I didn't see him do a lot, but I didn't see him do like anything crazy. So he was shutting the guys down in the slot, in my opinion, that I saw. I didn't get to see the entire game, so Craig, I think he did a pretty good job being the nickel corner from being claimed like last week or whatever it was. As far as the other injured guys go, I mean, Gathers, he's got to get healthy. Anderson, I want those two guys back next week. We need those two guys back really bad next week. Art Jones can wait a little bit. I mean, well, he's out 4 weeks anyway because of his suspension. But still, I mean, Vontae, I'm not sure how much longer he's going to be hurt, but it would be nice to have him back. It's just, I think, going back to positives of this game, I think our young linebackers, Antonio Morrison and Edwin Jackson, I'm not exactly sure if he played or not, but Antonio Morrison, for sure, I think had a great game. I think he was, in my opinion, he was one of the best linebackers for us. And being a rookie, that's pretty amazing. He's got a bright future, the sky's the limit, but he's very raw. And, you know, C.O. Moore led our team in tackles, which I think is, you know, phenomenal because going into the season, I was a C.O. guy. I wanted C.O. to win that starting spot over Irving, but we cut Irving, so that settled things. But, you know, C.O. Moore had, what, 13 tackles or something and a couple tackles for loss. So, he played pretty well, I think, but he's just a cover linebacker. He's not a run-stuff guy. But DeQuell is the other way around. He's a run stuff guy. He can't cover very well. So they kind of make up for each other's weakness there. And another update, and I don't know if you guys have seen this yet, DeJon Smith. We reached an injury settlement with him, which means that we essentially, if I know it like I know it, we essentially paid his contract up for the remainder of this year, and we cut him. He's no longer part of the team. Any team can sign him. I don't know if he can be a part of a practice squad, but he is gone. He's probably never coming back, and that's unfortunate because DeJon Smith is a guy that he's been filled with injuries, and that's really unfortunate because he's a young guy who had a lot of potential, a lot of hype going into his rookie season, and he was injured his rookie season for, I think, half the year, if that, and he didn't get a play at all. And then this year, you know, unfortunately he was injured for a majority of training camp and we had to put him on injured reserve. And this leads me to Hugh Thornton. I think I would not be surprised if we end up doing the same thing to him. And Hugh Thornton would be the last person for that draft class, the 2013 or 2014 draft class remaining, because that draft class was absolutely terrible. That was with, I think, Bjorn Werner and Colin Holmes and company. That was a terrible draft class. I'm not going to go through who we could have got because it's going to upset everybody. But, you know, in his defense, that was one of his first drafts. I think it was 2013. And, you know, 2012, it was kind of handed to him who he was going to get. He's getting luck, and that's really all we needed. I mean, sure, we got Kobe, Dwayne, and whoever else, but Broncos game. You know, man, I really thought the Panthers would beat the Broncos. I really did. But that Broncos defense is crazy good, and Trevor Siemian apparently is somewhat better than we all expected. You know, a former fourth-string quarterback for the Broncos because of all their injuries. Yeah, he was the fourth quarterback on the roster, never played a snap, never played a down. I think former sixth or seventh-round draft pick, turned starter. If I remember correctly, he was living in the basement, you know, on a couch of one of his college friends because he didn't have a job or anything. And he had a job lined up until the Broncos called him to be a part of their practice squad or whatever. And soon enough, he becomes the starting quarterback for the 2016-2017 season for the defending Super Bowl champions, which is pretty cool. He's very young, very raw as well, but the Broncos' defense is phenomenal. So our offense, I don't expect us to generate a lot of rushing yards, but I do expect Luck to get a couple passing touchdowns. I would not be surprised if we start this this season 0-2. It depends on what our defense, how healthy our defense is. If we're without the same guys we were last week, and more the guys that got in, like and more of the guys that got injured from this past game, it is not going to be pretty, and that's unfortunate because I want to be able to watch this game and not have to close my eyes after every snap, because I don't know what's going to happen, because we're really raw on defense. We're really raw. We have some young guys that are raw, like I said, and we've got some really, really old veterans that have little to no left. And it's unfortunate, but it's just how it is. But I like where our offense is going. We are pretty young offensively, with the exception of probably Frank Gore and Joe Wright's, we are a pretty young team. I'm going to get into my draft again. I didn't make any changes from last week. It still addresses all of our major needs, and CBS Sports, the website I go off of for rankings, has not updated their system since late August. So I'm gonna try my best to do another mock after the Broncos game to see if I can tweak it a little bit. But just looking at where players fell or where they were ranked and where they're projected, but projections don't really mean anything. This is just realistic where you can expect them to go. Right now in the beginning of the college football season and whatnot. So in round one, I have all these picks. If you listen to my past podcast, they're the same ones, and I'm probably going to say the same exact thing. So round one, outside linebacker Tim Williams from Alabama. We've seen how old we are at outside linebacker. We do not have any youth whatsoever, with the exception of Akeem Ayers and Kurt Maggett. I didn't really see those guys do anything except probably play special teams. And, they're going to learn a lot from the older guys, but drafting one of the best pass rushers in the first round would provide youth the position. Williams is a rising senior for the Alabama Crimson Tide under a phenomenal coach in Nick Saban. He's the number one ranked outside linebacker according to CBS Sports. And Alabama, because they lost their defensive coordinator, they now run a 3-4 defense, if I saw that correctly. So he would fit our defense right now. He would not have to He would not have to transition from a 4-3 defensive end position to a stand-up 3-4 outside linebacker. He's already a stand-up linebacker, so that would be good. A good selection for us to help the pass rush. Round two, I have us drafting a running back of the future, possibly Wayne Gallman from Clemson. I mentioned earlier that Frank Gore has probably seen, he's probably got a year or two left, if that. Wayne Gallman is a name that I knew pretty much all of last season for the Clemson Tigers. He played in the national title game. We have some young running backs that are backing up Gore, Turbin, Todman, and Ferguson. They haven't really done much. I don't see any of them being the quote-unquote bell cow guy for us. The running back class in 2017 is filled with guys, so it could be anybody here. We could probably draft a guy in the first round or third round, and we would still have a phenomenal player. We've got Christian McCaffrey, Leonard Fournette, Nick Chubb, Dalvin Cook, just to name a few. But I have Wayne Gallman right here, and he's a phenomenal power horse, downhill runner. He stood out to me in the national title game. There's definitely a bunch of other running backs, but he's just a name that I saw in the second round. If he's there, I would take him. So moving on to round three, I was taking an inside linebacker, Kendall Beckwith from LSU. He's a guy that I knew last year. I thought he was going to declare for the draft, but he decided to stay at LSU for whatever reason. I think he is one of the best inside linebackers in this class, being, you know, a pretty, you know, an older guy for the LSU, being the leader of their defense. We've seen DeQuell Jackson do his thing for us for the past couple years, but he's on the tail end, man. He really is. I don't think Seal Moore is the answer. I understand that he's under 30, so he's got, he could probably start for us for a couple years, but, Jarrell Freeman was a phenomenal linebacker. The duo of DeQuell Jackson and Jarrell Freeman was, it was awesome. They both complimented each other in their own ways. CL Moore, Josh McNary, Antonio Morrison, Edwin Jackson, we've all seen those guys play linebacker in week one and during the preseason. Now, I could see Morrison and possibly Jackson starting for us in a couple years, but I don't think they're ready yet. Morrison probably further along now that I see him playing. I think he's gonna do some big things for us this year. Edwin Jackson is a guy that I'm pretty high on. I saw him in camp and he definitely stood out to me. But getting a proven inside linebacker in college in the third round of the draft, Kendall Beckwith from LSU would be a good pick, because that addresses the inside linebacker position, adds more youth and more competition to that position. Round four, I have us addressing the cornerback position. Brandon Faison from Virginia Tech. Vontae Davis, Patrick Robinson, and Antonio Cromartie, they're not getting any younger. We don't really have a guy that's young behind them besides the guys that we have claimed or signed. I don't see them being starters for us, but Brandon Faison has a lot of potential. He reminds me a little bit of DeJon Smith, but hopefully doesn't have injury issues, because that would not be a good sign for us. That would not be a good draft pick for us. But he's one of the young top corners in this year's draft that you guys need to keep your eyes out for. So moving on, round five, defensive end DeMarcus Walker from Florida State. This guy, I watched the Florida State game, and I think he had like three or four sacks. I mean, I think he had already surpassed his number of sacks in his season or in his career combined or something in last week's game. I forget who they played. Florida State played somebody, but this guy DeMarcus Walker, I mean, he was really getting after the quarterback, and I think he had three or four sacks, something like that, something pretty amazing. My reason for this pick, Kendall Inkford, Arthur Jones, they're not getting any younger. They're both over the age of 30. I understand that we did draft Hassan Ridgeway, and we've got T.Y. McGill there, and Henry Anderson's the starter. But you've got to have competition. You've got to have competition, and you've got to have depth at the defensive line. Walker is a young guy. He would probably learn a lot from Kendall Langford. It would just be an all around great draft pick, in my opinion. And finally, round six, we do not have a round seven pick. I believe it's because we signed Billy Wynn last year, and I don't even know if he's on an NFL team anymore. I need to look into that. But Billy Wynn, since we signed him, or we traded for him, the Browns get our seventh round draft pick. So in round six, I was drafting a safety, John Johnson from Boston College. Mike Adams is aging. Clayton Gethers and T.J. Green are probably the presumed starters next season, assuming we do not decide to re-sign Mike Adams. We need youth, and we need depth back there, and Johnson adds that to the safety position. And really, that's it. I'm going to run through it one more time. Round one, Tim Williams, outside linebacker, Alabama. Round two, Wayne Gowan, running back, Clemson. Round three, Kendall Beckwith, inside linebacker, LSU. Round four, Brandon Faison, cornerback, Virginia Tech. Round five, DeMarcus Walker, defensive line, Florida State. And round six, John Johnson, safety from Boston College. I think that about wraps it up. If there are, like I said, if there are any major trades or major roster moves or whatnot before the game, I will do my best to do another podcast before the Broncos game. My prediction is either A, we get absolutely destroyed because the Broncos defense is phenomenal and we don't have a defense, or it's another toss-up game like the Lions game was this week. So, with that being said, I cannot talk today, man. That does it, and have a great rest of your day, and thank you for tuning in. Bye-bye.